This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The meeting of the Senate Tax Committee will come to order. And would the Secretary please call the roll?
Edelstein? Howie?
Here.
Gerstad? Maher?
Here.
Merchant? Nelson? Peterson?
Here.
Frisley?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
Use a quorum.
Do you want to tell her where the Secretary's office is?
Let's see, Diane. Go down to.
We do have a quorum. And is there a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting? Moved by Senator Howie, seconded by Senator Nelson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Let's see, one brief admonition. I guess pretty much all of you are professionals at testifying before the committee. If you are testifying, please be sure to sign the roll at the door and indicate your presence so we get your name spelled right. Turn your cell phones off. And with that, we are ready to open the public hearing on, let me kind of give you a little bit of an idea of what we're going to do here. We're going to take Senate Bill 192 first, followed by 162. And then 196, and we will defer action on 199 until Wednesday, as the prime sponsor was not able to be back quite in time for this morning's meeting. So we'll start out with public testimony on Senate Bill 192, which is an act to exempt gross receipts from certain food coupons from sales tax. Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I found it ironic that earlier this morning, Senator Peterson stole my opening line about how he was new to the Health Committee. Well, in my 5 years of the legislature, I've never had the privilege of coming to the Taxation Committee, and hopefully I won't be back. But, but no, Mr. Chairman, I know.
Senator, we'll try to treat you so nice that you just can't wait to get back.
Very good. Thank you. Over the past year, my wife and I started a project in our home where we were going to start using coupons more and start clipping them out and doing all those fun things and start saving some more money. Well, we come to find out that the state has different rules on how coupons are used. If you were to use, I mean, we're all familiar with coupons that we see in the Sunday newspaper where you have Kellogg's cereal and Campbell's soup and all those different companies that have coupons in there for buy one, get one free, $2 off, 50 cents off, so on and so forth. Then you also may see in like a Walmart ad or in Sioux Falls' case, Hy-Vee is a very large grocery chain, and they have a number of pamphlets where they have their own coupons. However, when you go to the checkout counter, and I'll give you a little scenario where you go there and buy a can of soup and you have a coupon and it's from Campbell's Supply or Campbell's soup, that the state doesn't take, or the state calculates the sales tax based off the actual price and not on the price after the coupon. So you go in there and you buy a can of soup for $2 and you have a $1 coupon. The state will tax you at the $2, even though you only owe $1 on the product. Now, that's if you use a Campbell's soup or a Kellogg's coupon. If you were to use a Hy-Vee coupon or a Walmart coupon, then when you present that coupon, you'll only be taxed on the $1 and not on the $2. Seems quite bizarre to me that we would have two different scenarios on how we calculate the sales tax when you are using a coupon, or that it depends on where the coupon is from, whether it's from the store owner or from a third-party company. So in looking into this, discussions with the Department of Revenue and Regulation, and apparently it's a rule that the streamlined sales tax group has, and South Dakota, of course, is participating in that, and their rules state just how South Dakota's process is. So the intent of Senate Bill 192 was to try and not tax that extra dollar when you're using a coupon, and there's really no, I didn't feel, any reason to do that. However, in those discussions with the Department of Revenue, it is part of their rules from the streamlined sales tax, so passing this bill would put South Dakota in jeopardy of not being a participant with the streamlined sales tax. But, of course, never can stop, so we have to keep going and keep fighting. I'm currently drafting a resolution that will encourage the state of South Dakota, the Department of Revenue Regulation, and the Streamlined Sales Tax Organization to come to change their policy on how they are taxing food when you go to the grocery store and buy that. Now, granted, a lot of states don't tax food, so they don't really have a dog in this fight. But I think for South Dakota in this situation, I think it will be very important for us to lead the charge in trying to save the people who are trying to save a little more money in these economic times, to allow them to not be taxed at, in essence, at a higher rate than everyone else for the same product. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Grant. Are there further proponents to Senate Bill 192? Further proponents to Senate Bill 192? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 192? Opponents to Senate Bill 192? Seeing none, are there any questions of the prime sponsor of the bill? Seeing none, we'll close to Senator Nelson. Senator Gerstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason, so nice to have you here in tax. But I am a little confused. So are you saying that we should try to pass this bill? I mean, you're still a proponent, or you don't want this bill passed at this time? You would like this tabled or deferred?
No, I think Mr. Senator, Senator said, no, it would be better if you deferred this to the 41st day or tabled it. We don't want to get into trouble with the streamlined sales tax. I think what we need to do is work with the streamlined sales tax people and get this issue changed. But I wanted the committee to think about that and the people listening, that this is a crazy thing that the state does on taxing. It's just, it seems crazy to me, but like I said, I've never been to the tax committee, so maybe you guys get all kinds of crazy stuff.
Further questions? Seeing none, we're open to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
I move to the 41st day.
Is there a second? Seconded, moved by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Howey. Any further speaking to the question? And seeing none, those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Howey?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant? Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 192 will go to the 41st day. We'll now open the public testimony on Senate Bill 162, which is an act to clarify the taxation requirements for certain ethanol fuel blends. Those proponents to Senate Bill 162?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
May I present the bill from here?
You certainly may.
Good, because this isn't going to take long. This bill is no longer needed, so I would respectfully request that you send it to the 41st day.
Okay, we have a request from the prime sponsor of the bill. Is there a motion? Moved by Senator Howey, second?
Second.
Second by Senator Adelstein, speaking to the motion. If not, those in favor of the motion of moving Senate Bill 162 to the 41st day will say yes. Those opposed say no, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howey?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant? Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 162 will go to the 41st day. We are now already, even though we were 5 minutes late in getting started, we're about 30 minutes ahead of schedule. We will now take up Senate Bill 196, which is an act to increase the sales and use tax and to allocate and appropriate the increased revenue for property tax reduction. And we will welcome testimony from our first proponent, Senator Howey. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Gordon Howey, Senator from District 30, and I'm just delighted to be here on a day where there's such a love fest. Let's just make this three for three.
Are you sure that's what you want?
Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't be so hasty. I won't take much time. I would like just a little time for rebuttal. I understand that there are some people who, it's hard to conceive somebody would be here in opposition, but I understand that some people may show up.
We will allow you that privilege.
Thank you. I do have an amendment that I'd like to offer for the committee's consideration. Is it okay to have the page circulate that?
Please circulate it, yes.
This bill is has been called a number of things, but I like to refer to it as a property tax reduction bill. And it started out as a bill that would have facilitated a 35% across-the-board tax reduction for every South Dakota property owner in every class of property. And some of the benefits for that would be that we would begin a shift away from funding education on the backs of real estate, on the backs of property owners. It would also provide an additional $30 to $40 million in tax revenue that would not come from South Dakota citizens. So we have a windfall in a time when we are having shortfalls in our budget, and this windfall would be $30 to $40 million. That's revenue that enables us to keep from increasing taxes on South Dakotans, gives us the opportunity to fund budget shortfalls, and do a host of other things. In the time that I've been in peer during this session, I've heard a lot of talk about the federal stimulus package, which some of us may not agree is all stimulus. But I would just suggest to you that this is a piece of legislation that does offer genuine economic stimulus for the state of South Dakota. It would do so by offering a significant tax reduction for property owners. It would enable additional new home buyers to qualify. We would expand the pool of buyers for those homes. We would generate more construction of those kind of homes. We'd generate more jobs. We'd generate more, even additional, sales tax revenues. We would generate even additional excise taxes. We would we'd also see a benefit to commercial construction and other kinds of real estate development, which would be genuine stimulus for an economy in a time when our state, even though we're doing much better than many others, we desperately need every opportunity for genuine stimulus that comes from the private sector. This would facilitate that. It would be tax neutral for South Dakota taxpayers, except that it actually could be a tax reduction when you consider the fact that $30 to $40 million in visitor taxes would be added to the pool. That would, and one of the benefits initially that I was concerned about, I looked at some of the cuts that were seeing proposed in state government. One of them was the food tax rebate program that had to go away. And this bill, as it was originally written, would have provided more than ample funds to take care of that food tax rebate program. The amendment that I have passed out to you today is something that addresses food tax in a more broad way. This amendment, and I won't go through the details of the amendment at this point in great length, just suffice to say this amendment would provide for the elimination of all tax on food. So we, by passing this piece of legislation, you would be able to give a net reduction in property taxes to every South Dakota property owner. I'm not just talking residential, I'm not just talking ag, I'm not just talking commercial. Every class of property would receive a 25% reduction in their real estate taxes. We would use this $30 to $40 million pool that I've discussed, in the process we could eliminate the tax on food, with the exception of candy and pop. I believe that has the impact of much more broadly distributing the benefits of this bill, and in doing that, we would also, just for those of you who may be listening or those of you on the committee that may be concerned, we would not be doing this at the expense of the municipalities or the tribes, because the bill is written in such a way that it provides for the revenues that the municipalities and the tribes currently get on food tax. They would be getting, it would just be coming from this source instead of the food tax. So I think with that, I'll stand by for questions or whatever the committee needs to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there further proponents to Senate Bill 196? Further proponents to Senate Bill 196? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 196? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jan Talley, Department of Revenue and Regulation. First, I'll speak to the original bill. Senate Bill 196 is a bill to increase the sales tax by 2% and then transfer, with the amendment now, it would be 25% from the general fund to the property tax reduction fund. And I haven't really had a chance to look over the amendment, but the original bill did not affect the tax on farm equipment, did not change that. It is important to note that in the original bill that the tax increase, the 2% tax increase that will be paid by people that may not even own property or pay property tax. So those that will be paying the tax will be paying the tax for tax relief for those who actually own property. Property taxes are much more stable than sales taxes and are not subject to the changes in the economy, as sales tax is. As far as the amendment to the bill, eliminating the sales tax on food, we've had a sales tax for over 70 years. We've kept the same rate for 40 years. South Dakota has a very wide base sales tax rate, so we can keep the rate low. The tax on food is a very stable source of income. So to remove that would change our economy in South Dakota and our tax collections. I know this year there are other measures introduced to raise taxes just to balance the budget without exempting anything. There's a lot of states that do tax food. I have a list of them if anyone's interested in them. But eliminating the tax on food would be a significant impact on the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 196.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. I'll be brief. We've obviously seen proposals like this before, and I commend Senator Howey for his efforts. I would tell you that our organization has frankly had a standing position of opposing an increase in one tax, which subsequently is going to have the effect of simply shifting the burden onto other taxpayers. And in this particular case, I'll just reference for a minute the Property Tax Reduction Fund program. For those of you that were around in the late 90s when the Property Tax Fund program was established, I'd remind you that commercial property owners do not share in the benefit of that program like owner-occupied do. And so in this particular case here, we're going to increase the sales tax at one level, and obviously impacting at the retail level. And then in turn, we're not going to do anything down the line, or we haven't done anything to this point with respect to commercial property owners. So you're really creating a tax shift. With respect to the issue of removing the tax on food or on groceries, again, our organization for a number of years, let me take a step back for a second. We've supported the sales tax on food refund program that this body has established along with Governor Rounds throughout the last several years. We hope that there's a way as this session proceeds that that cut, if you will get restored and that program will continue. But with respect to eliminating that tax right now on groceries, it really does seem to us to be eliminating, if you will, I think it was referenced in the previous opponent. You know, we tax broadly a variety of products in this state, and groceries is obviously one of those. And in terms of creating a mechanism of where you're replacing or eliminating that without a mechanism to replace it with a new source of revenue, I think is really going to leave this body and this state in a very difficult situation. So I'll be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Further opponents to Senate Bill 196? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. I think highlighting the testimony that was given earlier, what this bill does is increase the tax rate generally and then also make the sort of a swap it for a tax that's less stable than what we have now. You know, Jan mentioned how important the sales tax on food is to the stability of the sales tax revenue. If you decrease the property tax is one of the stablest taxes. It certainly has its detractors and its problems. As director of property taxes, I'm very aware of those. But it's also one of the most stable taxes. 99.4 or 99.5% of the taxes that are assessed are collected. Very stable tax, very stable source of revenue for the schools and the counties and the local governments. And this bill it raises the tax rates and then makes our tax at the same time less stable. So we'd ask you to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 196? Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I have a visual aid that can be passed around.
One of the pages can pass that out for you.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Drew Anderson. I live in Sioux Falls and in District 9, and I'm here speaking in opposition of Bill 196 on behalf of regular South Dakotans like myself who don't own any property and who would be financially burdened by the tax shift this bill proposes. Consider that.
Excuse me just a second. You say you're speaking on behalf of yourself?
Myself, yeah, okay. Myself. Consider that while tax sales tax relief would be broad income progressive way to reduce taxes for everyone. Property tax relief is in contrast quite unevenly concentrated. Much of the resources would go to high-end properties in just a few key areas of the state. In spring 2007 as a college student, I researched the housing market in South Dakota. Specifically, I looked at the distribution of owner-occupied property values in five South Dakota counties. Some of my findings, I think, can inform the discussion we're having today by showing the way property value is distributed and therefore the way property tax relief is distributed. And I hope you'll consider my findings as you assess and vote on this bill. Using assessments from 2006 public record taxable value data for owner-occupied homes, I created the histogram that you're looking at of home values. So comparing these five counties, you see the four most populous counties, Minnehaha, Pennington, Lincoln, and Brown, which I chose because they represent 40% of the people and homes in our state. I also found data on Hutchinson County, a more typical rural South Dakota county, the 23rd largest population out of all 66. So now what you're looking at is equalized taxable values, which are generally about 85% of market value. You can see quickly see how many homes fall into each category and the differences between these multiple counties. The categories are buckets that are just $10,000 wide of value. So, for example, you can read that there are about 3,500 homes in the 90,000 to 100,000 range in Minnehaha County. That's the highest peak. If you look at the second graph, though, now the vertical axis is the taxable dollar value of the homes that fall into each one of these categories. So you can see that the high end rose a little. Though there are fewer properties out there, their higher value changes the shape of the graph. So confining ourselves to homeowners in just these five counties, basically the world in my 2007 study, and talking about a decrease in levies, basically the money is paid out from the state to the property owners. Essentially, since the school district budget remains unchanged, the state's paying out those tax break to those property owners. If you look at the skinny part of the top graph on the far right, that's about 0.8% of the homeowners in these five counties that have homes taxable at over $500,000. These about 1,000 homes are getting 4.1% of the tax break dollars from any sort of property tax reduction. So it's 0.8% at the top, getting the top 4.1% of the dollars. It's just similarly uneven if you go down the scale. They consider the homes that are taxable on $350,000 per year, or excuse me, $350,000 of value or over. That's just 2.6% of our homeowners in this sample, and they receive 10% of the dollars in a tax break like this. So this tax shift disproportionately burdens low-income, low-wealth people, i.e. non-property owners or low-value property owners. You can see from the graph that the more the value is concentrated in the upper end of the scale, the more unbalanced the comparison of dollars spent in tax relief versus homes that are affected. It's also clear that the lopsidedness is most pronounced in big cities. The vast majority of counties are more like Hutchinson County, with 98% of the owner-occupied home values at $150,000 or less, which are more with a more normal distribution of value, and very few high-value properties to skew the picture. Property tax relief is most effective and most costly to the state for high-value property owners, who are concentrated geographically to big cities. Sales tax reduction is a more income-progressive, broad, equitable vehicle for tax relief. I applaud the amendment that changes that doesn't apply it to food tax, but still, any sales tax increase is certainly more aggressive than a property tax. So, in closing, people who spend in their community but don't own much property are the net losers in this bill. People and companies who own a great deal of property in proportion to what they spend in South Dakota are the net gainers. We're just looking at the owner-occupied housing market alone. It shows that although the reduction in rates applies to all properties, the relief dollars are concentrated geographically and value-wise. Non-owners who share the state with high-end property value owners will see little to no tax reduction from this bill to offset their decrease, 2%, in everyday purchasing power. So I think this bill overlooks South Dakotans, and I respectfully oppose it. I hope this committee will consider what I've presented before you here today. Thank you so much for giving me your time and attention. On the back of that sheet, you have some contact information if you want to know more about this, or feel free to field questions now. Thank you again for your time and your service to people like me.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. You've put a lot of work into this little project.
Thanks.
Further opponents to Senate Bill 196? Further opponents to Senate Bill 196? If not, Senator Howey, we'll give you a few moments to offer some rebuttal.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. excuse me. I would just suggest that it may be a little short-sighted to say that this proposal benefits high-enders and wealthy South Dakotans. I want to just share just a couple of benefits briefly with you that will be significant to lower-income families in the state of South Dakota. One is that this would benefit first-time home buyers, people who right now cannot qualify to buy that first home. So they're forced to be in a rental situation. If we reduce property taxes, it will add those people to the pool of home ownership. And what an opportunity for them. I just suggest to you an additional benefit. The neediest and the poorest among us many times just need an opportunity. It's called a J-O-B. And this bill will present them with the opportunity for employment, with the increases in construction and genuine economic stimulus that it would provide. So I think it may be a little short-sighted to say that this benefits the high-enders and doesn't give any opportunity or benefit to people who are on the lower end of the economic scale, because, frankly, I think they're one of the prime beneficiaries. I also would just like to rebut some of the other testimony we've heard here today. And first, let me say that this bill, as it would be provided for in the amendment, would eliminate the sales tax on food without increasing taxes on South Dakotans. Because another significant benefit is that we have a pool of $30 to $40 million in tax revenue that doesn't come from any South Dakotan. And we can use that to help some of the people in need. We can use that to help save some of the programs, and we can use it in part to eliminate the sales tax on food. With regard to the testimony that says that real estate is a stable source of taxation and that this would be irresponsible in some way because it would be devastating to the budget, I want to just suggest to you it would do no such thing. It does not in any way impugn the stability of the tax revenue base of this state. In fact, if there is a decline in sales tax revenues, this bill provides that would just flow through and there would be a decline in the reduction in real estate taxes. So it would not impugn the budget revenues. It doesn't change the total dollars that we're talking about. So the stability argument is without merit. And the argument that says it would be troubling to the state budget is also without merit. It would not destabilize our budget or our revenue source for a second. I believe that I've been told if a preacher's been drilling for 20 minutes, he should stop boring. So I'm going to take that advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. We'll open to committee questions of any of those giving testimony. Anyone from the committee have questions? Senator Gerstead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Howie, you can stay right there, sir. I am trying to figure out how this is going to not increase expenses on South Dakotans, because I'm wondering if all these services aren't going to just pass these taxes on to us folks, or am I missing something?
Senator Holly.
I'm not sure that I understand your question, Senator Gerstead.
I think you, Mr. Chair, if I may. Senator Howie made the statement that this was not going to raise taxes for South Dakotans, or is it? I mean, it looks to me like a 2% tax raise, but I see that's on, you know, retailers and services and so on. But wouldn't they just pass the tax on to all of us?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This bill, Senator Gerstead, is tax neutral. Because what we're doing is replacing an element of taxation. 25% reduction in real estate taxes would be replaced by a sales tax. And in addition to that, we would, by virtue of the amendment, eliminate the sales tax on food. So can we make an argument that there will be some net gains, some net losses? I think that's a fair argument, and we'll always have those issues among us. One of the fundamental reasons that I brought this bill is because the real estate taxation program in this state is broken. It is filled with inequities. It is filled with situations where it pits one neighbor against another neighbor because assessors in different counties do things differently. Every year in Pennington County, there are people who come before the county commission to plead their tax cases because they think they've been treated unfairly. And it is replete with unfairness and inequity. And so this would allow us to move away from a system that we've been trying to fix for years. Even at a state level, we provide property tax relief. I would just suggest to you, we really thought that was the best way to tax or to collect tax revenues. We probably would not have been trying to fix it over the last several years. So that's a long answer to a short question. Thanks for your indulgence.
Further questions? Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if I have a question, but a comment. And I think that the bill brings to mind whether we believe taxes should be in a broad sales tax and incrementally increase that, or if we want to strive to reduce property tax. And, of course, it eliminates the tax on food, which is very regressive in my mind. But I think the younger gentleman that came forward does bring up a very good subject in that, you know, the higher priced, the area, the very high priced homes, I mean, do they really deserve a break? And so I guess I would really want to hit that home. And if you could respond to that, please.
Senator. Mr. Chairman. You know, I think that is a legitimate argument to have. And let me just suggest to you that, again, this is not a bill that just benefits high-ender kinds of people. This is the philosophy behind this bill is what I believe drives the economy in this country and in this state, and that is this. That those who are in a position where they have the ability to spend money are the ones who create jobs and create opportunities for those who are trying to work their way up the ladder, who are trying to find a way to get into home ownership. So I think that this bill gives a jump start economic stimulus to our economy, and at the same time, eliminating what you and I may agree is one of the most regressive taxes, that tax on food. And so it does those two things in a way that I think should enjoy broad support. So
if it's in the form of a question, yes, you may.
Would it not impose, when a person is building a house, 2% increase in actually building the home when products are very expensive as it is? You know, the cost per foot to build a home is very high already. So does this, the property tax relief, ultimately really weigh in on that? I mean, is it really that beneficial? Because I would suggest that if you're building a $180,000, $200,000 home, 2% more on that would be burdensome as well. Is that... Have you looked at those numbers of, you know, the building costs?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Yes, and I'll be brief. I believe that those numbers will encourage people to support this bill, but fundamentally there's something that we miss if we don't discuss it, and that is that those taxes, when I pay a sales tax or an excise tax on a 2x4 or a load of sheetrock, that is a one-time tax. Property tax reduction of 25% is an every year event.
Further questions? Not the chair would ask Ms. Talley, or maybe if you'd like to have Ms. Page, how does this amendment tie together with our streamlined sales tax agreement?
Mr. Chairman, Jan Talley again. It doesn't affect the streamlined sales tax Amendment.
Okay.
A lot of states do not tax food.
Okay. Further questions, comments? If not, we will close testimony to committee action, and the prime sponsor has proposed an amendment. Would someone like to move the amendment to put it in the form that he wishes?
So I'll
move it. Motion by Senator Gerstad. Second by Senator Howey. Okay, now the all in favor of that motion to amend, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion, the bill is now amended. Speaking to the any committee discussion on Senate Bill 196 as amended. Senator Gerstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I commend Senator Howey for bringing a bill like this. That's taking a big leap, and shows some real intestinal fortitude. So I always appreciate seeing that. I guess I do object to the property tax refund program. I actually secretly have been happy that our governor in his projections has just about spent that out, simply because I saw such inequities in that program, and that the bigger and the more expensive home and property you have, the more you get in terms of a refund. And folks that have maybe $100,000-$150,000 homes and properties do not get much at all. And people that rent, and there are a lot of those folks in the state, get zero in our state. Other states, they give them money in a refund situation, but not in our state. So I see it as a very inequitable tax situation. And then to think the other thing that I just really am very uncomfortable with right now is a 2% sales tax raise. That is, seems like an awfully big hike at a time when people are really struggling with their finances. So I guess I can't support this bill at this time.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Further, Senator Howey.
Could I check back within a couple minutes?
Further comments? Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to commend Senator Howey on bringing this to light and having the discussion. It took some bravery and courage to do that, and I really appreciate it. I also have to agree with Senator Gerstad that the property tax relief, although good in concept, I think the jump to the 2% hike in sales tax may not be beneficial, but I do appreciate this being brought to us.
Senator Howey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, one of the incredible benefits of a 2% tax is the $30 to $40 million that we generate from visitors we don't get that from any South Dakotan. That comes from folks who visit our state, who use our highways and our infrastructure and enjoy the natural resource that we have in the beauty of our state. And so it's legitimate for them to participate. And I haven't heard any objection from those folks saying that they would mind contributing. $30 to $40 million of non-South Dakota tax revenue does some very good things for South Dakota. We look at some of the proposed budget cuts and the $9.5 million of proposed tax increases or revenue enhancers, whichever you prefer to call them, and when you weigh this proposal on one hand with those proposals on the other hand, it makes a lot of sense to me that 2 cents that would pull in the potential of $40 million would help a whole lot of South Dakotans and a whole lot of programs that we're talking about throwing out the window. So don't be too hasty to push the no button on this.
Further comments? Further speaking to the motion? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Howey, I was wondering if you could just maybe throw on an amendment that would provide that only out-of-state folks are taxed and the rest of us have the lower tax. Can we do that?
Chairman.
Senator Holly.
I think in my conversations we've even discussed that possibility, and it didn't seem very likely.
I think there's such a thing as the Commerce Clause in the U.S. Constitution that might get in the way with that. I've been reminded that we don't have a motion yet, so we're still discussing, but action would be appropriate if we were to want to. Senator Holly.
I don't want to be the first one to rush in, but I'll move do pass.
That's very appropriate. You have the, you're certainly within your rights to do that. We have a motion do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Merchant. Speaking to the motion? If not, those in favor will say aye. Those opposed say aye. Senator Peterson.
Substitute motion.
Yes, Senator.
To the 41st day.
Yeah,
refer to the 41st day.
Substitute motion by Senator Peterson to refer this to the 41st day. Do we have a second? Seconded by Senator Gerstedt. Speaking to that motion. Okay, we have a motion going to the 41st day. Is all in favor say aye. Those opposed say no, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein? Howie?
No.
Gerstedt?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
3-6 yes, 2 no.
Okay, the Senate Bill 196 will go to the 41st day on a motion on a vote of 6-2. And as I had indicated, we will take up Senate Bill 199 on Wednesday. And so that brings us to the point in our agenda where we're ready for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Frisley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.